Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. The Offspring there. Coleman. Let me tell you something about the singer of The Offspring.
Okay.
I think he's the smartest man in rock and roll.
Okay.
His name is Brian Holland, but they call him Dexter. Dexter Holland. Dexter short for Poindexter. Because when he graduated high school in 1984, he was the valedictorian of his class, meaning he was the smartest kid in his class. He then went to the University of Southern California, USC. He earned a bachelor's degree in biology. Then he got his master's degree in molecular biology. He was a candidate for a PhD in molecular biology. However, because while he was doing that, in college, he started getting involved in music. And then his band took off, The Offspring. So he suspended his studies to focus on music. Back in 1995, he did an interview where he said when he turns 40, he would rather be a college professor than singing in a rock band. I mean, he then was a doctoral student at the Laboratory of Viral Oncology. And he did all this research when it came to medicine. I mean, the guy is absolutely he learned to be a pilot. He completed a 10-day solo flight around the world, around the globe.
Huh.
I mean, and he has sold millions and millions and millions of records. He also started his own brand of hot sauce. It's called Gringo Bandito.
The White Bandit.
Yeah. The Gringo Bandito. That's what it's called. But he's a fascinating guy. And what's interesting, the guitar player of that band is a guy, Noodles Wasserman. His nickname is Noodles. But when he hooked up with Dexter Holland, Poindexter, Noodles Wasserman was a janitor at one of the local schools there in Southern California. He was a janitor. So you had the smartest kid in class say, I'll be the singer. He meets this janitor, and the janitor's like, I'll play guitar, and they formed The Offspring.
It makes you wonder where a student in microbiology and a janitor would even meet up to even talk about, hey, you play music? Yeah, I sing. And just figure it all out.
Maybe in the bathroom. Yeah. You know, Poindexter went into the bathroom to either drop a deuce or whatever the case may be. And Noodles was in there cleaning up the bathroom. And hey, maybe they were humming the same punk song.
Maybe.
Who knows? Because
that is a very interesting story.
Both fans of punk rock. But it just, and by the way, that's macro. Biology,
macro, the
not
big virus.
Micro.
Yeah, the
that's
big
macrobiology, right. Okay,
right. Coleman? But maybe he can help out with this coronavirus thing since he knows so much about viral oncology.
Put him on it.
Yeah, I'll try to. I'm going to tweet him right now.
I think Mr. Holland, the singer, Poindexter, Dexter Holland of the Offspring, may be the smartest man in rock and roll. Brian May, the guitar player from Queen, he has his doctorate's degree from college. There are a few guys in the rock and roll world who aren't just, you know, hey, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
But you never really hear about them because they stay out of the news because their stories aren't as compelling as the sex, drugs, and rock and roll rockers, you know?
They're not as compelling, but to me, they're very interesting stories.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe it's not cool, you know, to be your class valedictorian, to get a 4.0 in molecular biology in college, and to be the singer of a punk pop band like The Offspring. But I think that I think it's very interesting.
I wonder what the rest of the band members are doing.
I don't know what the rhythm section of The Offspring is doing. I all I know is the original band, they don't have to work anymore. They sold enough albums, and I just found that guy very fascinating always. So I hope you're doing all right after Hurricane Zeta came through the New Orleans metropolitan region yesterday. They say upwards of 500,000 people are without power. And that's always the flooding and losing power is always the worst part of a hurricane. Well, after if anybody dies, and from everything I've read, one 55-year-old guy in New Orleans died as a result of being electrocuted by a downed power line. That sucks. But in between 400,000 and 500,000 people, at least Entergy customers, are without power. And late last night when Hurricane Zeta moved through here, that's when they took to the streets, the Entergy workers, to try to get people back, get their power back. They say it could take several days. That's, you know how that's, look, this isn't your first, it's not your first rodeo, or it's not your first hurricane as well. Coleman, you told me where you live on the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
You said with every hurricane you can remember, including yesterday's Hurricane Zeta, you don't lose power in your house, but the people who live right across the street from you, they always lose power.
Yeah, that's with every power outage, even if it's not storm related. If it's just a generic power outage for some reason, with my side of the street, our lights flicker, but they never completely go off. Whereas right across the street, their power always goes off. And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes if my power is out, their power may be on. I think even though we're right across the street from each other, we must be on a different grid. But my side of the street always keeps power, while the other side of the street, for some reason, their power always goes out, and they keep looking at us across the street like, what are you guys doing? It's like, I can't explain it.
You would think probably you're on a different power grid.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Maybe that's where the grids change, right in the middle of your street over right there on the West Bank. Are you near any kind of hospital or emergency care facility or senior citizen homes?
Well, West Jeff is the closest hospital to my house. So, but like I said, right across the street, we're pretty much the same distance from any emergency care facility, you know? So no, not necessarily. West Jeff is probably a few miles away from me.
Because I know here in New Orleans, the hospitals, they're usually the first ones to get power back if they lose power, and they usually have a pretty strong system, and the people who live closest to there, because they're hospitals, they mm-hmm. obviously help people. That's why.
Well, Raphael says we live close to a Walmart, so our power's back on before 10 o'clock last night. So
hey, how about that? Good for you, Raphael.
So I guess if you live close to a supermarket too, like Walmart, then you know your power would probably...
Priorities, hospitals and Walmarts. Priorities when it comes to getting the power back up. So Yeah, that was something. How it was an afternoon drive time, and boy, it came through here, and it was wicked, and it was heavy. And then after about an hour and a half, I'd say maybe 2 hours, that was it. Everything stopped. It was so non-threatening. I mean, everything just stopped, and it made everybody think we must be in the eye now here in New Orleans,
right,
and here on the West Bank. And then as it moved north, the wind kicked in a little bit more, but the back end of Hurricane Zeta was hardly anything compared to the front end. But it was something because, I mean, the winds were howling, the trees were going sideways, and then all of a sudden it stopped.
Right.
And it was, I mean, they're saying that's only the fourth time since 1850 that New Orleans, the city of New Orleans, the eye of the hurricane went over the city of New Orleans. They're saying all the storms that we've had since 1850, yesterday was only the fourth time the eye of the storm. And so you could be the middle of that eye of that storm, no matter how wicked it is, and everything just stops.
But what's cool about that, you said they had the back end of the eye, but they really wasn't a back end. What happened was two things. One, I guess my boss must have heard our show last night because he texted us right after the show and said, well, you don't have to come to work tonight. You know, I sent you that screenshot of him saying that on Facebook. But I have an app on my phone called My Radar, and it kind of like it shows like it's a weather radar. Well, when everybody said, well, we're in the eye, I looked at my radar, but the eye was the back end. Like there was like it looked like a donut that was bitten into, meaning that there was a break into the eye. So once we were in the eye, there was no back end of that eye because the majority of the wind had already passed. So even after the eye passed, there was nothing behind it. It was just like this weird, like the eye was right at the end of the hurricane. So I don't know if that makes sense. I can't describe it. But when I looked at it on the radar, even though we went through the eye, there was nothing after the eye because the eye was broken.
If you're in the middle of the hurricane, the eye of the hurricane, mm-hmm. And then is the back end of the eye of the hurricane, do they call that the retina? what do they call that?
I don't know. I think they call it the ass end of the hurricane.
Well, anyways, so... Well, got some cleaning up to do and some people got to get their power back on. And hopefully, I'm knocking on my head, but hopefully this Zeta is the last hurricane or tropical storm of this god-awful year that is 2020 here on Bayou. Hey, and we've got a lot of stuff we're going to do on the show today, including a rock star and his wife had their identity stolen, and somebody maxed out their credit cards. Stay tuned for that. A lot to do on the show today. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. The morning after Hurricane Zeta came through yesterday afternoon. And obviously the biggest problems, I think now the biggest issue for most people, for many people, is getting the power back on. And from what I understand, it's in between 400,000 and 500,000 people lost power. And Entergy and Clico, they are out, and they're working hard. This is what they do, and hopefully sooner than later, we'll all get our power back. That's all they're saying. It could take it could take several days, but you know how this usually works. It's usually they do a good job and get people's power back on pretty quick. What was something about yesterday's storm, and we mentioned this earlier. By the way, our show starts at 5:30. In case you forgot or didn't know. But I mentioned when we first came on this morning how this is only, Hurricane Zeta was only the fourth hurricane since the 1850s where the eye of the storm went right over New Orleans. That's only happened three times. Historically, you know, since they've been keeping track of this stuff. And yesterday was the fourth time that the eye of the hurricane went over New Orleans. And I hope this is obviously the last one. This has been a god-awful year in so many aspects. But when we've been in the cone of uncertainty for seven different cones of uncertainty, lighten up. So I hope everything gets back to normal for you, at least post Hurricane Zeta, as soon as possible. I saw this headline, and you don't see this very often, because usually when you see crime and gun crime around New Orleans, it's usually men. But I saw this one, and because it's very rare to see something like this, I wanted to bring up this story on the show this morning. Marrero woman grabs gun, tells housemate, "Got you now," and shoots him. The fight erupted because he wanted her to move out. But usually you don't see women shooting men. Usually you look at statistics. I mean, here in New Orleans, people get shot every day. But it's always almost always men doing the shooting. A 55-year-old Marrero woman was in jail yesterday. She spent Hurricane Zeta behind bars. She was charged with grabbing a gun and shooting her friend's boyfriend after a fight. Coleman, you're really familiar with Marrero, aren't you?
Yeah, I lived there.
Your neck of the woods over there on the West Bank. You know Charlotte Tony?
No, I don't know Charlotte Tony.
She's 55 years old. She was booked with attempted murder, too. Attempted second-degree murder. The victim was a 67-year-old man. He's still alive. He was wounded. The shooting occurred Sunday in Marrero as Ms. Tony was living there with the victim and his girlfriend. And his girlfriend is a friend of Charlotte Tony.
I can piece together what's
so
going on.
So we all
here.
Know people, you know, some, hey, I need some place to stay for a little while. And so this 55-year-old woman needed a place to stay. So her friend says, okay, you could stay with me, but she lives with her man.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, there were some problems in that Marrero residence. And on Sunday, the 55-year-old woman grabbed a gun, told her male housemate, "Got you now," and then proceeded to shoot him.
But that's pretty rude. That's pretty rude, because clearly they invited her into their home, and the man, whatever she was doing, the man couldn't tolerate it anymore, and he has a right as the homeowner to say, "Look, I don't want you here anymore. Start packing your things. We tried our best to help you out." But instead of just saying, "All right, you're right, I wasn't abiding by the rules," or whatever, she goes and gets the gun and shoots the guy who's kind enough to let this woman into their home.
And
why you got to stop doing nice things for people.
And they got into an argument because he wanted her to leave.
Right. But
there was a couple of times in my life that I've lived with women, and I never had an issue if my girlfriend at the time had a friend who needed a place to stay for a little while. But after a while, you know, you could.
Well, most men wouldn't have a problem if their girlfriend allowed another woman into the house. See, now it would be probably
this guy in Marrero didn't, he got shot.
Yeah, but I'm just saying most men would be uncomfortable if it was another dude. Like if the girlfriend was like, "Hey, I have a friend, he's a guy, would he come move in?" Most men would be like, "No." But when a woman asks a man, "Hey, could my girlfriend or my friend move in?" Most men would be like, "Yeah," because they're already thinking all kind of extra action might be going on. But the thing that surprises me about the story is the age of the people. You think around 60, 50, you would be more mature. You know, you wouldn't, problems like this wouldn't even arise. But when you're that age, you know, there would be some sort of decorum. But clearly, they, you know.
Well, Coleman, evidently on Sunday, they got into an argument. He wanted her to leave. The disagreement turned physical after the scuffle was over.
Oh, they actually had a fight.
Well, after the scuffle was over,
Hi-ya!
She went out to her car and got a gun. She then went back inside the house, pointed the weapon at the victim, and said, quote, "Got you now." And then the word is blanked out here, but it says B blank 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 H.
That sounds like bitch to me.
Yeah. So she said, "Got you now, bitch," and then she fired. I mean, imagine saying that to somebody and doing that to somebody, like you just said, who's letting you stay in her house. Yeah, he happens to be doing sex with your friend, and that's why you're staying there.
Unless the problem arose because she wouldn't do sex with the original guy, because we really don't know what the argument was about. So that's probably what he was mad at. Like, "Dude, we let you into the house. The least you could do is break me off some." But she's probably like, "Nah, I'm not cool with that."
Well, the man was hit in the stomach, seriously wounded. He has undergone several surgeries. And she was being held yesterday on Hurricane Zeta Wednesday at the Jefferson Parish Jail in Gretna in lieu of $250,000 bond.
On the bright side, she has a place to stay now.
Yes, she does.
At our expense.
She does. But again, the only reason I brought that up, you usually don't see a woman shooting a man. Usually, with all the shootings that happen in and around New Orleans, and they happen all the time, it's almost always a man.
Yeah, because women resort to like keying your car or slashing your tires or something like that. That's usually their go-to play.
All right, coming up on the show, we've got to tell you about the rock star. Somebody got him and his wife's credit cards and maxed them out. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. In St. Charles, Minnesota, thieves cleaned out a pumpkin farm. Can you believe that? A pumpkin farmer, he grows pumpkins, and then a week before Halloween, some thief comes by and cleans out his whole pumpkin farm. Needless to say, the farmer is out of his gourd. Police hope to recover the pumpkins before they go under the knife to change their appearance. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I hope you're recovering from Hurricane Zeta. While we were preparing for Hurricane Zeta yesterday, before it came here, United States senators were sitting down and grilling the big tech CEOs. Did you see any of that? There's a Senate committee hearing yesterday on the bad behavior of big tech. And they had the three CEOs. They had Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg. They had Google's Sundar Pichai. And they had Twitter's Jack Dorsey. By the way, have you seen Jack Dorsey, the guy who's in charge of Twitter?
No, I can't recall his face.
He looks like if they said that guy is a serial killer, you would look at him, at least what he looked like yesterday, and say, that's not surprising at all. But, I mean, these three guys, obviously, three of the most successful people that we have in our country. I mean, look what they started, look what they created, and look what they sit on top of. But the reason why they were being grilled by the United States Senate yesterday, the Senate committee hearing, and by the way, they were grilled by both Republicans and Democrats, although Republicans were grilling them more. Because Republicans were saying, look, you censor messages that are coming from conservatives, but you don't censor messages that are coming from the political left. And the one story that everybody can agree on, that's true that happened, was with the New York Post story last week on Hunter Biden. While his father was vice president, while Joe Biden was vice president, Hunter Biden, who's a hardcore drug addict. I mean, there are stories with pictures of him with a crack pipe in his mouth, and then stories about how he got millions of dollars from companies in the Ukraine, from China, all while his father was vice president, and the only way Hunter Biden would have made any of that money, gotten a job with any of those companies, was because of what his last name was and who his father was. And those stories started going around social media last week, but then all of a sudden they disappeared. And so some Republicans yesterday were saying, hey, what are you doing, Zuckerberg? What are you doing, Dorsey? Facebook and Twitter. But then there were Democrats that were yelling at him too. They said, you're ruining journalism. You know, you're ruining the newspaper business. You're ruining the news business. You know, and these guys are like, well, what are we supposed to do? Look at how successful these three guys are. I mean, the guys that came up with the idea for Google, for Facebook, for Twitter, and now they got to sit there. It was on video monitor because of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Usually when there's when people are getting grilled by the United States Senate, they're in the same room up there in Washington, D.C., but because of coronavirus, I think it was, I don't know if it was a Zoom Senate committee hearing or I don't know, but they were on video. Who knows, some sort of FaceTime.
Do you think it was necessary, though? That they had to be grilled by the U.S. Senate? Like, do you think? So think about what these businesses really are. Facebook is just, basically, they're all data mining business at under the surface. But at its surface, Facebook is just a platform where people can just hang out with their Facebook friends and chit-chat and share little comments and stuff. Google is just a search engine. You type something in, and it shows you the results of the search engine. Twitter is pretty much the same thing as Facebook, with just more accessibility. You go up there, you tweet your stupid ideas. That's really what they are. They should not even be involved in the political arena to begin with for them to get grilled. Because if I was either one of those CEOs, I'd say, dude, we're not even in the political business. We're in the social media business. We pretty much, you know, we have our platform, and we are a private company, and sure, certain things we don't like if it violates our terms or our conditions. So what? They're not the New York Post. They're not the New York Times. They're not a journalistic There, one's a search engine, and the other one is just stupid social media platform where people just post stupid stuff.
Well, what's interesting about this, Coleman, is that that Democrats say that these companies, these three in particular, need to be broken up because like a monopoly.
Okay.
Much like Ma Bell needed to be broken up. Because these companies, you can't compete with them because they're so rich at this point that if anybody came along and tried to compete with them, the company would just, Facebook, Twitter, or Google would just buy the company or do whatever they needed to do to erase that company.
But what does the company actually do? What is their business? What needs to be breaking up? Like I said, they're just a data mining company. Google has competition. It's Yahoo and Bing. You know, Ask Jeeves, sites like
but
that.
But they don't come close.
But it doesn't
matter.
They don't come close
even if you broke to Google.
Even if you broke those companies up, you're just going to have small microcosm companies that still do the exact same thing anyway, and they're going to censor the same thing. Just because you break them up doesn't mean that they're going to get the desired results. So even if you broke up, let's say, Facebook into different smaller companies, they're still going to censor certain messages. They're still going to delete certain content that they don't like. It's just in smaller quantities. Just because you break them up, you're not going to get the desired results. It's not like if you break Facebook up, then it's going to be a conservative Facebook and a liberal Facebook. You know. And first of all, they shouldn't even be involved in politics to begin with. It's the stuff that people post on Facebook that they decide to censor. Yeah, well, it is biased, but they are a private company.
That's the interesting part. Now, I don't know personally about these three guys. I don't know what Zuckerberg is politically. I don't know what Jack Dorsey of Twitter is politically. And I don't know what Sundar Pichai of Google is politically. You would think that they're Democrats. You would think, because looking at their at who works for those companies, it's safe to say 90% of the people that work at all of those companies are Democrats, just like 90% of people who work in the media are Democrats. Just like look at college campuses, professors. Seemingly 90% of college professors are Democrats. 90% of the people who work in Hollywood, in the music industry, are Democrats.
And that would be another argument where you could put forth, like when the Senate says, like the Republican side of the Senate, when they grill one of these CEOs and say, look, why is it that you censor articles or news stories from the right side, but not from the left side? I would say, if it's true news, why is there a side anyway? Why should there be? Maybe you should look at the news companies to figure out why there are different types of news and why they have angles. Don't blame us from the things that our subscribers and our users post. Blame news for being so politically corrupt that there are angles to that shouldn't be. Unless it's an opinion piece, if it's supposed to be true news, it should not even have a political spin to begin with. So the main source of the problem is the original news organizations like the New York Post and Washington Times and Fox and CNN and all those.
But why the New York Post is doing their job? They've got a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Sun.
Right.
Of the guy who's running for president and what he did while his father was vice president. Very shady. And if you believe what's in that story, very illegal. And all of a sudden, on these platforms, Facebook and Twitter, that story is being censored. It's being taken down.
Yeah, but that's just that one story. I'm talking about the news just in general. And like all the news whatsoever, they shouldn't even have a bias towards the news. We do, but it's not the social media platform's responsibility that the news sources that are put on the platform have a particular bias. So the fact that the Republicans are grilling them, saying you're censoring stories from one side but not the other side, my argument would be that shouldn't be a side to true news. If it's actually true news that you can verify, it shouldn't be a side or an angle. That would be my first point. My second point is we're not even supposed to be in the political arena or the news arena anyway. I started my company because I wanted friends to hang out with each other. I started my company because I wanted to have a good search engine where people could find. We're not even supposed to be in this arena anyway, so how do we
get sucked in? They're there.
They're there now, but they got sucked into it.
They're in the middle of it.
Yeah, they are, but at the same time, they're not supposed to be. And I think they got sucked into it inadvertently because their users are the ones that made it political by always posting political stuff. And they were like, well, this is getting out of hand. Let's try to put some regulations and restrictions on it. And there you go. Now they're a publishing site.
Hey, you know, if you're listening, text us. Again, these three guys, the guy that created Facebook and the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who created Twitter and the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, and the guy who created Google, Sundar Pichai, they were being grilled yesterday in a Senate committee hearing. And do you think that those companies should be broken up?
But even if you broke
like
them up,
the government,
what?
They went after Bill Gates and Microsoft. Remember that?
But if you broke them up, what would they be broken into? Like Facebook North and Facebook South and Facebook East and Facebook West? Like even if you broke it up, it's still the same thing. I can see why you would break up like a brick and mortar company or something like that. But they're in a data mining business, and there's TikTok, there's all sorts of websites that do data mining. So even if you broke them up, they'd just be a small microcosm of the same exact thing.
Hey, text us. Our number is 504-260-9595. What do you think about this? Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if your text adds to our show, we'll read it coming up. I just thought it was interesting yesterday as we were preparing for Hurricane Zeta. There was a hurricane in Washington, D.C., as the Senate committee really went after the heads, the leaders, the creators of Facebook and Twitter and Google. Air on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I hope you're doing well this morning, the morning after Hurricane Zeta ripped through southern Louisiana, southeast Louisiana. And again, what I find amazing is that this is only the fourth time since the 1850s, since they've been keeping track of this stuff, that the eye of a hurricane has gone over New Orleans proper, has gone right over the city. And that was something yesterday, late afternoon, early evening. The winds were howling, it's raining like crazy. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. Like instantly. And we were we were under the eye of the storm. And then as the storm continued to move north, the back end of the storm had some wind, but it wasn't nearly as bad as the front end of the storm. They say that 400,000 to 500,000 people lost power, lost their electricity. And I know Entergy and Calico are doing the best they can to get everybody back up, get their electricity restored, hopefully sooner than later. But this is what happens. It's a hurricane, and I hope this is the last one for this god awful year. Did you see where Ozzy Osbourne's wife, Sharon Osbourne, said that her and Ozzy were the victims of credit card fraud? She said she was in the store the other day with one of her daughters, and she went out to pick up her gift, to buy her a birthday present. She said she gave her credit card to the person working at the store, and they come back and they say, "Do you have another credit card? It didn't go through."
Rejected!
So Sharon Osbourne said, "Just try it again," which they did, and it still didn't go through.
Rejected!
So then she says, "I hand them Ozzy's credit card." So this is the second credit card. Now, you know how rich Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne are? They have so much money, it's insane. So she hands them her husband's credit card. And they came back and they said, "Do you have another one?"
This one rejected.
This one didn't go through either.
Wow.
Someone, according to Sharon Osbourne, someone rang up charges and maxed out Ozzy's credit card and Sharon's credit card. Sharon said as soon as Ozzy's credit card got rejected, she called the credit card company and they told her, no, you can't spend. You're maxed out. And so is Ozzy. And then the people on the other side of the phone, the people that work at her credit card company, started listing off some of the things that were just purchased, recently purchased, and where they were purchased. And Sharon says, "I don't go to that store. I've never been to that store. I've never been to that store."
But you would think that the credit card companies would have some sort of fail-safe once you realize they started having a pattern of major purchases. Because not even rich people who are on the status of Ozzy Osbourne, even, you know, middle-class people, if somebody starts making, like, random charges over and over again, they'll send you an alert like, "Hey, are you really purchasing all this stuff in these large quantities at one single time?" So their credit card companies didn't even have a fail-safe? I guess not.
How would you like to be the daughter? "Come on, Mom, I thought you were buying me a birthday present."
From what I hear, the daughter's probably rich too, right?
They've all got.
Yeah.
They've all got money. And by the way, the daughter whose birthday it was the daughter that was on the television show, Kelly Osbourne, on that great TV show, The Osbournes, back in the day. But we mentioned they have one daughter who was never on that television show. No one ever saw her. And she is really, really not only good looking, her name's Amy Osbourne. You can look her up. We put her picture on our website when we talked about her in the past. But not only is she really, really good looking, she's a musician and she's a singer and she's got music out there. It's not bad either.
I think this is an inside job, the credit card thing. I don't think some random person just happened to find out, because celebrities like Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne, they don't use their real names when it comes to...
Slow down here. Those are their real names. His real name
I know.
His real name is John Osbourne.
Okay. His real name is John Osbourne.
Her real name is Sharon Osbourne.
But when you reach that level of celebrity, there are certain people who can get a card under a synonym or alias because their names are too recognizable. You know, once you reach that level of elite, like, let's say... Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. No, there's no way he uses his real name on his credit cards because they would know that that's his, you know, that's The Rock. You know, anybody could get his name in.
So you think they let really rich and famous people use fake names on their credit cards?
Yes, they do. Yes.
Well, obviously the Osbournes didn't. And I guess you have to guess a password.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Ozzy's password is? Crazy Train?
Bat.
Yeah. Bathead. What do you think Ozzy Osbourne's password is for, you know, for his credit card? Well, anyways,
I would love to know what this guy bought with Osbourne's credit card. Maxed out all three.
Has that ever happened to you?
No, I don't use credit cards.
When I was younger,
mm-hmm.
I was either in college or just out of college, and it wasn't a credit card, but it was more. I don't know if it was a credit card or if it was, because they didn't, I know they had ATM cards, but I used a card at a gas station in Vermont, and mm-hmm. some long-haired dude, which, I mean, I had long hair back in the day, but some long-haired dude was working at the gas station, and I used a card to pay, and I remember, like, a couple of weeks later, I got a bill. And it said I had bought this, and I was the same way. Wait a minute, I didn't buy any of this stuff. And then you could find out, and all the stuff was bought in Vermont.
Ah.
And I didn't live there. I just happened to be visiting there. And as soon as they said Vermont, the only person I thought of was that dude at the gas station.
No, I'm not even in a financial bracket to have a credit card. Everything is straight cash with me. That's how I get paid in tips. So, yeah. I don't have that problem. I can't steal my identity.
One of the advantages of
being broke,
of using cash. And I wonder how much cash Sharon Osbourne had on her. She said she was able to buy Kelly a birthday present. But I mean, I people that are that rich, I mean, who in the year 2020, who carries cash on them? Maybe a little bit, but when everything, it's so much easier just to carry a card or two and just swipe.
Well, but that's the downplay of, like, she thought it was easier to carry a card, and all three, her two cards and Ozzy's card all got maxed out. So, yeah.
I just wonder what Ozzy Osbourne's password is. And I mean, she kind of runs their entire lives. I mean, she's run his career since the day he got kicked out of Black Sabbath. She made him, under her management, a solo star, and then married him. I mean, I can't imagine Ozzy Osbourne having a credit card on him where he would be out on his own without her, or at least someone like her with him to say, Ozzy, okay, this is what we do and this is how we do it. I mean, because...
You think he's that out of it?
Yeah, I've interviewed Ozzy. When I was on the radio in Boston, he was on my show, and he's a... That's not an act.
I think they're going to figure this out by the end of the week. A high-profile identity theft case like that, the FBI is going to figure this out. Somebody texted said the PIN number is 666.
That could be it.
But isn't there four PIN numbers, though? I'm not familiar.
It could be his code word or his PIN number. It's probably not that difficult if they got maxed out. I still think it might be Crazy Train. Anyways, yeah, they're getting that worked out. Yeah, but that's a problem that a lot of people, I mean, sometimes I'm just looking on Facebook and I see some of my friends, wait a minute, somebody just paid for gas 150 miles from here and I've never been at that gas station and used my credit card. So I just had to call and they had to cancel it.
I think if somebody stole my identity and looked at my bank account, they'd give me money. Like, oh, my bad, sir. I didn't know.
All right. Hey, coming up on the show, oh, there's another new TikTok trend. Wait till you hear this. It's pretty crazy. And there's a company that just debuted brand new merchandise featuring its own clothing. And I wonder who in the world would buy this company, like a shirt with this company's name on it. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I was just reading where researchers say the smell of pumpkins can cause sexual arousal in men. But before you act on the urge, make sure you blow out the candles. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Van Halen there. And I found a great Eddie Van Halen interview from late 1978. I put it up on our website. It's up on our website at bayou957.com. I put it up there yesterday. Just scroll down a few stories. It's a fantastic, if you love Van Halen, you will absolutely love the interview. They had just gotten off the road from touring for their first album. And he was just about done, him and the rest of the band, making the second album. And the interviewer was asking him about the songs on the second album. And Eddie Van Halen is like, well, the guy's like, can you name them and describe them? And Eddie Van Halen's like, well, we got one that's called Beautiful Girls. I don't know how to really describe it. That's kind of happy. It's kind of upbeat. You know, he starts talking about the different songs on Van Halen 2. And then the interviewer asks him, do you think this is going to be as big or bigger than your first album? And did you think your first album would be so successful? And Eddie Van Halen's like, no, I had no idea. He's like, but the second album, he's like, we're gonna crank up the drums and the bass a little bit more. He goes, because on the first album, we just cranked up my guitar when we were producing it. He said, but on the second album, he goes, we're gonna crank up the drums and the, I mean, just the, and the way he's talking about each song on the second album, he's like, well, we got these new songs and I'm not quite finished with this one yet. This one's heavier, you know, and this one, if you love Van Halen, you will love the interview. Again, it's from 1978. It's just two dudes talking and it's on our website at bayou957.com. And that's right next to something else I put up there yesterday that we talked about on the show. The 79-year-old guy, he won a dive bar for his backyard. Evidently, Miller, the company Miller, they make Miller Lite and Miller High Life beer. They asked people register to win a dive bar. We're giving away a dive bar. It's a $10,000 dive bar, and we will put it, build it in your backyard. And so wouldn't you know, the 79-year-old guy who's been drinking Miller High Life for over 60 years, his daughter entered him and he won. His name is Jim Kasten and he's from Shawano, Wisconsin. And he won the ultimate dive bar prize. And it's like a shed, a shack. It's in his backyard. It's a bar inside the shack. It's got two stools, but you could put more in there. It's got some cool Miller High Life old vintage signs. How cool would that be to have a dive bar in your backyard?
And it's good that the guy even had a backyard and he didn't live in an apartment.
Well, no, it's interesting you say that. Because like most 79-year-olds, like most people as they get older, he's moved on and his home is smaller now. He couldn't fit it in his backyard, so he had to put it in his daughter's backyard.
Oh, so the daughter gets
the dive bar.
Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got that story and the pictures of the dive bar. It's really cool. It's they're right next to each other on our website, bayou957.com. When you get a second, go check them out. You know, we're always putting entertaining stuff up there. You should regularly check out our website, bayou957.com.
And it's also the Bayou Babe of the Day, which is my favorite. I take a peek at that every time I come to work. That's the first thing I look at before the emails.
Yeah, people still, even though a lot of porn is free, people still enjoy checking out the Babe of the Day, the Bayou Babe of the Day on our website, bayou957.com. That's free, too. Hey, I wanted to tell you this story real quick because I couldn't believe this when I read it, Coleman. These two sisters who live in Chicago, last Sunday, they went into a store. It was a small store, small shop. When they went in, they were approached by someone who worked at the store. And the worker asked them to wear a mask. Could you please put on a mask? And here's some hand sanitizer. Could you use the hand sanitizer? Because we're trying to prevent the spread of coronavirus, COVID-19. What do you think happened next?
Let's see. Two sisters
in what city?
Chicago. Somebody got shot, John.
They didn't shoot him.
Okay.
They proceeded to stab him 27 times. While the both of them got arrested and they both started stabbing him. They were not going to be told to wear a mask. And they were not going to be wearing any hand sanitizer. They were not going to be using any hand sanitizer. So they both start stabbing this guy 27 times. At some point, one of them stopped stabbing, picked up her cell phone, and started video recording the other sister stabbing the store employee.
This reeks of premeditation. I think this is planned. Like, for both of the sisters to happen to carry knives into this one facility, and then one of them has the wherewithal to take their phone out. I think this is premeditated. It just seems like it.
21-year-old Jessica Hill and her 18-year-old sister, Jayla Hill, were arrested. Jessica's the one who pulled the knife out of her back pocket and began stabbing the 32-year-old store employee. Jayla held the man in place by his hair while he was stabbed 27 times. And while he was being stabbed and while she was holding him down for her older sister to stab him 27 times, that's when she whipped out her cell phone and started video recording it. Jessica taunted the employee, called him bitch. He said, "You're a bitch," and said he had gotten... "We bleeped you up." She recorded it. The younger one recorded it on the phone. I think the man survived being stabbed 27 times.
Oh, well, clearly they didn't stab him in any vital areas. Maybe the aim was a bit off.
That's Chicago. We told you what happened last weekend in Mississippi the other day on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a funeral in Mississippi, and 10 people got shot.
But nobody stopped to record that, right?
I don't know if anybody would. But that was a brother and sister who got arrested. They were from Chicago. They just happened to be in Mississippi at the funeral. And after the funeral, there was a get-together, and at that get-together, 10 people got shot. 2 died.
Well, just like this Mississippi story, I think this guy who got stabbed, I think they may have known the person that stabbed her. For some reason, it just feels that way. It feels like they went in here for that particular person to stab him. Like he must have did something with another chick or something. Because I don't know. It just seems like it's a it doesn't seem random.
No, Coleman, the way the story goes, these two sisters in Chicago went into a small shop this past Sunday. The store employee asked them to wear a mask and use hand sanitizer. They weren't having any of it. One of them whipped out a knife, started stabbing them. The other one held them down by his hair and then whipped out her cell phone and started recording it.
Well, did they at least get what they came to the store to get before they left? Or they just stabbed and left?
It doesn't say what their purchases were. And again, these sisters, one of them's 21, the other's 18. And it's the 18-year-old who held them down and then started video recording it. I mean, does she obviously she doesn't know how stupid she is because she's video recording her and her sister committing a felony. That's what she's doing. Here's the evidence for you, police officers. We're going to go to jail for a very long time, and here's the evidence that will put us there. Here's my cell phone.
Well, it can also work as an audition tape for the Gangs of Covington. I heard they're into that type of stuff, committing crimes and then putting it on social media for likes.
That's a story we talked about a couple of weeks on the show. Good that they got the Gang of Covington and the Gangs of Covington off the streets up there. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou. 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, the day after Hurricane Zeta ripped through here. And it's something how this storm, so late in the season at the end of October, is the one that did the most damage to the New Orleans metropolitan area, even though we've been under the cone of uncertainty now seven times this hurricane season. This is the one that finally whacked the New Orleans metropolitan region. 400,000 to 500,000 people lost power. And I know Entergy just released a statement saying that they're working hard to get people back, get their electricity back. But they're saying this is going to go through the weekend. And they're going to be working through the weekend. So hopefully, obviously, sooner than later. But this could take a couple of days when you get a half a million people who lose their power. And between Entergy and Clico, they're out there working. They're doing the best they can. Were you watching the local media yesterday during the hurricane? Do you have a favorite weather person? Because I know some people that still only watch what Bob Breck says, even though he's been retired for a few years now. He was the former Fox 8 meteorologist, but Bob Breck still hanging out at his house, and he pays attention to this stuff, and he tells you what he thinks is going to happen. And I still know some people that he's the only guy that they watch. I mean, I go back and forth. I try to see what they're all saying. On Channel 4, the chief meteorologist is Chris Franklin. We've had him on this show. He says he likes the show. And I like Chris Franklin. I think he does a good job. He replaced Carl Arredondo as their chief meteorologist. But they have another meteorologist over there who I really like, too. And I mean, like I said, I like Chris Franklin. But are you familiar with Alexandra Cranford? Man, she looks spectacular every time she comes on TV, those dresses she wears. She is just so good looking. And I've told Chris, I said, look, you know, I got a 50-inch television in my living room. You know, if I get a high-definition 50-inch flat screen. I mean, look, nothing against Chris. I like Chris, but my God, Alexandra Cranford. I mean, she just lights up the whole house.
But so Chris, it's always sunshine when she's on the TV, no matter what the weather is. Huh?
But Chris Franklin does a great job with Channel 4, and so does Alexandra Cranford. I know what David Bernard on Fox 8. He does a good job over there, and Margaret Orr is the woman at Channel 6. WDSU. So, did you have a favorite?
I barely pay attention to the weather. I just look outside and whatever it just is. I just play it by ear.
So the day after, we made it, and now we just got to clean up and get our power back. And again, hopefully this is. Someone just said there's something else that has a 30% chance of coming our way. The Jesus, Son of God, no. Hey, and since today's Thursday, that means this week's NFL football schedule starts tonight. And if you haven't gotten in our King of the Bayou football challenge, you could win every week. Even though we're already into the season, each week, whoever picks the most right games, whoever picks the most winners, wins $50 worth of groceries from Winn-Dixie. That always comes in handy. So you can go sign up, and even if you haven't gotten involved already, you could start this week, and you could still win. And tonight's Thursday night game, our two teams who are in the Saints division, the Atlanta Falcons travel to North Carolina to play the Carolina Panthers. And I'm on our site now, and you can just go to our website, bayou957.com, click on our King of the Bayou football challenge. That's the picture of me dressed like Elvis. And you can, if you sign up, it's free. It only takes a second. You can see, like, right now, 87% of the people who have made their pick for tonight's game have picked Carolina. Only 13% have picked Atlanta. And so I think tonight should be a Carolina win.
Yeah, I went with Carolina myself.
Well, so did 87% of people, Coleman.
Yeah.
But it's wild. You start looking down for this weekend's games. Boy, how things have changed. The New England Patriots, only 8% of the people who have picked that game between the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills have picked the New England Patriots. Only 8% of people. I mean, Tom Brady played the Buffalo Bills twice a year for 20 years. And he only lost one or two times. He hardly ever lost to the Buffalo Bills. So it shows you how things change. You know, one guy decides to, I'm not playing here anymore. I'm going to go down and play with Tampa Bay. And now, boy, oh boy, they're missing him up there.
The biggest percentage spread is Kansas City versus the New York Jets.
Well, they're saying, Coleman, they're saying that this could be the biggest point spread in a long, long time, because the Jets are the worst team in the NFL, and the Kansas City Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champs, they're the best team. You've got the 6-1 Chiefs hosting the 0-7 Jets. Right now, 1% of the people who have picked that game have picked the New York Jets. 99% of the people who have picked that game have picked the Kansas City Chiefs. See, that's an easy one.
See, the thing is, I know there's somebody in Vegas right now who's going against the odds, and he has his finger crossed just for one mistake, one injury, something just to get that one. Because think about it. Most people are going for Kansas City, right? Most people, majority, 99%. But if if something happens and it just actually pulls something off, somebody in Vegas is going to be really, really excited about it.
But there's a really tough game this week, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Right now, 58% of the people who have picked Baltimore, 42% of the people have picked Pittsburgh. And as far as the Saints game goes, of course, most people around here, most people who are in this King of the Bayou football challenge are from around here, live around here. Right now, 70% of the people who have picked that game have picked the Saints. 30% have picked the 5-2 Chicago Bears. And by the way, the Chicago Bears are 5-2. I mean, they've got a really good defense, but their offense is one of the worst in the NFL. Their offense is horrible. And the 4-2 Saints go to Chicago to play the 5-2 Bears this weekend. So this is a lot of fun. If you haven't gotten involved yet, Do it when you get a second. Go to our website and kick click on the King of the Bayou Football Challenge. Get involved, and maybe this week or next week, you'll win $50 worth of free groceries from Winn-Dixie. It's on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So the company Stouffer's, they just made news because they announced they're debuting a merchandise shop featuring its own clothing. And that's going to, that the frozen food brand Stouffer's, their line of apparel will debut on November 17th. Look, I like Stouffer's, but I don't know if I would buy like a Stouffer's shirt or Stouffer's anything else. You know, as Stouffer's is personal to me because as someone who's a single guy like me, you know, whenever I'm in the grocery store, whenever I'm in Rouse's and I see a guy standing in front of the Stouffer's freezer, I kind of feel sorry for him. And you know, he's buying all kinds of frozen stuff. But then I go over there and I pick up a couple of things. But I don't try to stand in front of the Stouffer's frozen food aisle, the freezer. I don't try to stand there very long. I try to, I know what I want. I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna open up the freezer door. I'm gonna grab it quick, throw it in a basket, and then I'm gonna get out of here. It's the guys that you see standing in front of the Stouffer's frozen food freezer door. You kind of feel sorry for them, don't you?
What's the stigma behind Stouffer's? Why is it like that? Why can't you just go grab some Stouffer's like you could, you know, like Bluebell or something like that, and just walk out?
Well, no, because it shows people that. This guy must be alone.
Really? That's what it shows.
I mean, he's buying all the Stouffer's stuff.
I didn't know. I didn't know that was a thing. Because I don't eat ice cream in general, so I didn't know there was a stigma behind buying a certain brand of ice cream that shows that you're single.
Stouffer's doesn't make ice cream.
Oh, what is it? What do they make?
Dude, Stouffer's, it's the orange packages. They make the frozen macaroni and cheese,
I didn't know.
They make all these. Really?
I did not know.
You've never bought Stouffer's frozen stuff?
I don't eat cheese. So if they got like macaroni and cheese stuff, of course. I go with like Hungry Man or maybe Banquet, but no, I've never.
Well, the Stouffer's is usually right next to the Hungry Man or right. It's orange packaging.
Okay, I didn't know. I never bought Stouffer's a day in my life. I haven't even seen it. I don't even know what the logo looks like.
Well, Stouffer's, they've got a whole line of merchandise coming out. They're debuting their line of sweatshirts, T-shirts, and they even have a fanny pack.
All right.
They have frozen lasagna.
See?
They have frozen meatballs, frozen macaroni and cheese.
See, I don't eat lasagna, I don't eat macaroni and cheese. So I get it.
Wow. You have to be the first single guy that I've ever known who has never not only eaten Stouffer's, but never even heard of it.
I haven't heard of it. Because I roll with Banquet, man. Banquet, what they do is they don't have all the sides and stuff. You can go get a Banquet microwave dinner, like with the gravy, like the meatloaf and gravy or the backyard barbecue. And it's just the meat without all that stupid stuff on the side. When you go for Hungry Man, they might have the meat, but they always put the dumb stuff on the side that you never really eat. But Banquet has just the family pack where it's just all the meat with no sides,
yeah,
no
yeah,
cheese.
Familiar,
no, yeah,
right?
That's why I roll with the Banquet.
But the Hungry Man, they have the it's the tray with the different holes in it, and
right.
the biggest hole is where the meat is,
right.
And then in the smaller holes they'll usually have the vegetables,
all
and maybe the potatoes
away.
And
all
and
the stuff I throw
maybe
away,
maybe the dessert,
all that stuff I throw away because I don't like the sides, I like the meat, give me the straight up meat.
Well, again, Stouffer's has good stuff, but like I said, I don't like standing in front of their aisle or their frozen food door for too long because I feel people are looking at me when I'm because I'll stare at some dude who's just standing in front of that aisle for a long time. But you feel sorry for that guy. He's loading up on all the Stouffer's, all the frozen food. Anyways, Stouffer's is debuting their own merchandise. Stouffer's merch will be available in mid-November.
So we confirmed that you would not buy Stouffer's merchandise. But if you were to win a t-shirt at a contest that says Stouffer's, or if they was to just give you some merchandise, would you wear it?
Probably.
Okay, cool. So you don't have a problem wearing Stouffer's, even though you have a problem being seen buying it. But you wear Stouffer's logos like walking down Bourbon Street or something like that.
If it's a cool looking shirt. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. This is about a criminal in Tennessee who left a little bit too much, more than pretty much anybody has ever left at a crime scene. We'll explain next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund hanging with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Tennessee man arrested for stealing log splitter, leaving his severed finger at the crime scene. Yeah, it wasn't too difficult for the cops in Tennessee to figure this one out. A clueless thief left his chopped off finger at the scene of his crime, pointing cops straight to him.
I'll see what they did there.
Tennessee sheriffs had an easy job tracking down injured 50-year-old Hugh Sieber.
You idiot!
As they found his missing finger, they also found his cell phone and tools at the victim's property. Anderson County, Tennessee sheriffs in the town of Marlow, Tennessee, received a complaint about a stolen log splitter. The property owner told deputies that various tools and other things were lying scattered along his driveway. And one of those other things, a finger! Deputies, they didn't have to, again, they found the finger, they found the perpetrator's cell phone, and they found his tools. So they checked with local hospitals to see if anybody just recently had walked in missing a finger. And one of the hospitals said, yeah. And the cops went over there and they're like, dude, we got you. Now, I wonder if they're gonna when they take his fingerprint, if they're going to take the fingerprint from the severed finger.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to. They have to take the fingerprint for the severed finger. Just go, whoop. And if that doesn't work, they can always do a DNA match from the bloodied severed finger.
Coleman, you know, this segment, the dumbest thing I read all morning, I didn't think it could get any dumber. I mean, this guy steals a log splitter, cuts off his finger while he's stealing the log splitter, and then leaves, and he leaves his finger there. You would think he would pick it up. I mean, and his cell phone.
Well, I guess as
soon as he... All right, leave the finger, pick up the cell phone.
See, I'm imagining that as soon as he cut his finger, he just jetted. He didn't recall having a cell phone with him. He just left his finger. He just went, and ran. The thing is, don't take cell phones with you on crimes. If you're going to commit a crime, whether it's a robbery or burglary, leave your cell phone at the home. You don't need it. You don't need it.
This guy left his finger at the scene of the crime of stealing a log splitter.
I hope it was worth it.
I think that's what you call instant karma, right?
Yes, of course.
You shouldn't be stealing and you know. I've heard of an eye for an eye, but this is a finger for a log splitter.
Yeah, the thing is, it happened himself. You know, back in the day when you stole something, they'll cut your entire hand off. So technically, he got off kind of easy.
By the way, we have this story and the guy's mugshot. We do not have a picture of his hand or his finger, though. But we've got his mugshot in the story on our website at Bayou957.com.
They just say which finger it was. Was it the middle finger, the pointy finger? I'm guessing it's the pointy finger since they used the pun. It pointed them in the right direction.
You would think it's the pointer.
Yeah.
But that would be something if it was the middle finger.
He'd be giving the cops the bird.
Yeah. I mean, even when he's long gone, he's flipping off the victim of the robbery and he's flipping off the cops. Well, anyways. The Tennessee man who stole a log splitter but left his severed finger at the crime scene along with his cell phone. Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. You know, just when I think this segment can't get any dumber, stay tuned. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.